The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Over the line, Orr throws it. He's in. A backhander and a save by Tony Esposito.
Stan Mikita was a small guy, very cocky in those days.
A right hand by Magnuson, and he puts Van Dyke down.
Magnuson trying to tear his hair out.
NBC Chicago's James Neveau.
Murphy picked out of midair.
.670 The Score's hockey guy, Jay Zawoski.
Belmore! Hawks win again! Chris Chelios in overtime!
Part of Blue Wire Podcasts.
Came off the boards, he shoots, he's going! Down to the Tames! A game-winning goal! The Hawks live to fight another day!
Falling back, Sawball drives, kept it from
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Chicago's going to be in last place forever.
Clear to center for Tames, he got a breakaway!
Triple Threat Sports, Fry the Coop, and by the Since In-Law Group. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome in, friends. This is the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. My name is James Neveau from NBC5 Chicago, and with me, of course, as always, is the one, the only, Jay Zawoski of 670 The Score and the I'm Fat Podcast. Jay, things have finally calmed down just a little bit in Blackhawksville. Still plenty of stuff to talk about, but isn't it nice they haven't made any stupidly huge transactions in the last, 2 days?
Yes, it's nice not to have to do 7 podcasts a week. That's a nice thing. And I love doing them, and I know you do too, but last week was wild, man. That was a wild week of podcasts, and yeah, it's definitely slowed down. I saw Ben Pope said on Twitter that apparently Stan Bowman's triple espresso has weared off, and he's he's back to his normal docile self, so good news for people in the news industry. Lots of good stuff to get to today, though. Like you mentioned, first and foremost, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Madhouse Pod, Instagram, Madhouse_Pod. We're on Facebook, of course, Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Look us up. Our Tee Public Shop has a sale going until the end of the week. $13 classic tees.
Uh-huh.
Up to 35% off everything else in the store. That includes phone cases, coffee mugs, stickers, masks, whatever you're looking for. With our logo or our designs on it, you can find it. And the cool thing about TeePublic is if you want our logo on a blue shirt, on a pink shirt, on a purple shirt, you can do that. You can customize everything. So check the link in our social media bios for the direct link to our TeePublic shop. Real quick, you can hear my voice. I've got a little cold. I took a COVID test today. I don't have COVID. So
good.
It's just a little summer head cold, which I get every year. But I apologize in advance for the quality of my voice and the quality of my content.
I did, A, want to say, hope you're feeling better, buddy. And B, the TeePublic thing, totally got my T-shirts today.
Oh, nice.
Laura ordered one with our new Madhouse logo on it. Looks really sweet. I ended up getting the Team USA Nintendo ice hockey design. I did not get the Detroit Sucks design, but that is still that's still on the radar. So, yeah, definitely check out the shop. Very pleased with the purchase.
Yeah, cool. So I got the Team USA ice hockey one too. I got it in royal blue and the tri-blend tee, and it just looks awesome and it's super comfortable. So yeah, check out our TeePublic shop. It's really great, great deals, and it supports the podcast at the same time, so everybody wins. Okay, so the big news is, since we last spoke, and I did a little short podcast, but this first time you and I are together, Marc-Andre Fleury is in. He will be the Blackhawks goaltender next season, and he was able to meet the media today, and he was asked the question by the Daily Herald's John Dietz, what changed? What was that moment for you that made you decide to play with the Blackhawks?
I don't know, honestly. It's just sleeping, good night's sleep, right? I could hold those after, I think just talking with, like I said, different guys and talking with the staff and talking to family also, right, to see what was good for everyone and thinking things through. I think it just adds up, and then I think it's worth it. It's exciting, and so I don't think it was one thing that made everything change.
Hi, Mark. You kind of touched on this, but I'm curious about the human side of all this. And you said this is the first time you've been traded, and you've seen so many other guys get traded. What was it like being on the other side of that, knowing that you're the one suddenly being uprooted and your family being the one?
Yeah, I feel pretty lucky that I didn't have to move so many times. A lot of guys have to do it. And it's not an easy thing, right? And it's okay. It's stressful, right? It's a process trying to find somewhere comfortable for your family to be in. I feel like a good school or I don't know. I think there's lots in there for them, right? And I've been very lucky to play for a long time and have won too, right? So I feel sometimes I gotta think not about me all the time, right? And but everybody was good with me, you know, playing again, and kids are excited to go, wife's excited to go. So
there you go. He's a Hawk. And it's something that I don't think that you and I were very certain would happen, and a lot of people weren't. And if you listen to Stan Bowman the other day, he mentioned too that Fleury was very grateful for the space and time the Hawks gave him to make his decision. They didn't hound him, they didn't press him, they didn't give them an answer, and it worked out. So very good news, and the Hawks are a better team. And before we get to breaking it down, James, when I hear Marc-Andre Fleury talk, he talks like another famous Blackhawk figure.
Nick Jalmerson.
Okay, I can hear that. I hear, now it's not so much in the vocal tone, but in a way of talking a little bit like Dennis Savard.
Oh, that's like a good one.
A little bit like through the teeth. A little bit like you hear this like behind the teeth a little bit. And he's also the guy, he's a right after his thoughts guy, right? And then, right. I had to talk to my wife, right? And I don't know why I thought his vocal tones were very interesting, but a little bit like Savvy in that talking behind the teeth sort of way. And I wonder if it's that, obviously French is the native language. I wonder if that's some sort of adjustment. It was interesting. Anyway,
that was.
The Hawks are a better team now. Discuss.
the other significant thing to kind of come out of all of the Marc-Andre Fleury news the last couple days is Stan Bowman actually saying that they don't have to make any additional moves. They'll be salary cap compliant on opening day. They don't have to necessarily do anything. So ostensibly, that would mean you don't have to trade a Calvin DeHaan if you don't want to. You don't have to potentially bury the contract of a Brett Conley. Like, they are very confident they're going to be able to get the deals done with Alex Nylander and Brandon Hagel to be able to get them into the fold without having to potentially make any other moves to become cap compliant. I thought that was really interesting from Stan Bowman. And as I've said before, especially with the NBA salary cap, these guys get paid a lot of money to make sure that these teams are salary cap compliant. And if Stan Bowman says they're going to be able to do it, I just have to take him at his word for it. And I think that that's going to be really helpful to the Blackhawks defense to have that extra veteran presence there. And then obviously to be able to get Nylander and Hagel both under contract and to kind of bolster that forward group.
You mentioned them being compliant and having Calvin DeHaan here, and I really don't hate that idea. And I know, I think some people might be thinking like, wait a minute, last year you guys were all about letting the kids play and all that stuff. Last year was a bit of a different situation.
Right. You had, definitely was.
You had Jonathan Toews out. That's $10.5 million, right? You had an aging core that was not really playing. We didn't know what the situation was with Seabrook, but you were pretty sure he wasn't going to play. So it was a year to kind of give some young guys a look. Now that they've determined, and I don't know if this is correct or not, but they've certainly determined it's time to try to win again, with Jones and McCabe and with obviously Marc-Andre Fleury and some of the other big moves they made. Now it makes sense to keep Calvin DeHaan around for at $4.5 million. That's a guy who's going to provide some veteran leadership, some stability on the left side. It bumps Jake McCabe down, and that creates a true shutdown pair with him and Connor Murphy.
Love it.
So I kind of like it. And if things, like we said on podcast prior, then if things start to fall apart, or you've got a kid in Rockford like Beaudin or Stillman or Kelenic or whoever is next on your tab for defense in the NHL, if they start playing great and you can't keep them down anymore, then you can make that trade. I don't think there's any reason to just pull the ripcord just to get rid of a salary you don't have to get rid of right now.
I mean, they're totally approaching this season as they're ready to win now. And I talked about this a little bit on the Cannons and Tomahawks podcast, the interview I did yesterday. Alex and Zach, both really nice guys, had a really good conversation about the Blackhawks. And we kind of mentioned that the expectations for the team are definitely different than they were last season. Last season was, we're rebuilding, we're developing. That's what Jeremy Colleton's here to do, is to develop the youth and to get the most out of them. Now, it's all about winning now, and that's obviously going to raise expectations for Jeremy Colleton, but it also changes the expectations of the construction of the roster. And I think that with both Calvin DeHaan and Connor Murphy entering the final seasons of their respective contracts, I do think that the Blackhawks will eventually broach the idea of an extension with Connor Murphy. I think that'd be something they would be interested in doing. He's only 28 years old. He's making $3.85 million. I can't imagine that he's going to command somewhere in the ballpark of like a $6 or $7 million deal. I don't really foresee that happening, but if, as long as you have those guys on fairly reasonable contracts and you kind of have these logical partners for them on the defense, I mean, I can easily see DeHaan pairing up with Seth Jones and Jake McCabe pairing up with Connor Murphy, and I think those are two really strong NHL defensive pairings, and I think that that immediately improves your defense to have that kind of firepower and that kind of ability on those two pairings. I think it totally makes sense to keep Calvin DeHaan. And yeah, there's still a ton of injury concerns, but if worst case scenario happens and DeHaan gets hurt, you have a couple options. You can either move McCabe up to play with Seth Jones. You could potentially have Riley Stillman slide up into that spot. Wyatt Kalnick's kind of the same thing. Hell, you could have Seth Jones play with Caleb Jones if you really wanted to get adventurous. So I think that the Blackhawks have given themselves a little bit of roster flexibility in terms of the guys they can kind of mix and match together. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, at the end of the day, having those quality top two pairings is something worth preserving. And I think ultimately makes a guy like Calvin DeHaan a little bit more important for the Blackhawks to have.
All right, we've both used the words compete. We've both used the words win. It's time to compete. It's time to win. Let's define that, right? What does that mean? I think when I'm talking about this, I think contention for a playoff spot, I think not making the playoffs is a failure this year.
Absolutely.
Based on the money you committed, based on the players you have, you need to make the playoffs. And look, if, you know, and I think there's so many question marks, and we're going to spend all offseason talking about those question marks, but it sounds like Jonathan Toews will be ready or close to ready for the start of the season. If he's 80% of what he typically was, this is a pretty formidable group of players. Mm-hmm. We already mentioned the defensive pairs and the defensive depth. You've got DeBrincat coming off, I mean, the best season of his career by far, looking like a legitimate two-way presence, a guy who can play in all situations. You've got Patrick Kane, who should be healthier this year, is playing with an injury we didn't know about until the season was over. You know, I think we often forget about Dominic Kubalik for some reason, a guy who scored 30 goals in this league before. Hagel in his second year. Kurashev in his second year. And remember, Alex Nylander, who everyone likes to scoff at, is 23.
Yep.
And he's gonna have a new contract, but that's a guy who could surprise some people and could force some people out. And that's a guy who you can sort of bounce up and down your lines too, where in a pinch, you've got some offense where needed. So I really think that this roster is probably better than they get the credit for. Now, whether or not everything goes right, you know what I mean? That remains to be seen. But this team definitely should make the playoffs, or at least be right there. And it wouldn't, you know, winning a playoff round is tough, because if they're going to be a bottom seed, they're going to have a really tough matchup. But to be competitive in a playoff series, I think that is the least expectation.
And I'm assuming the NHL is going to stick with the 8 playoff spots for both the West and the East, and the top 3 from each division make it, and then the remaining 2 are wild cards. If that's ultimately what the NHL does, and I think that is what they're going to do. Look, I think that if you look at the Central Division, there's a really strong argument to be made that 5 of the 8 playoff teams from the Western Conference are going to come from the Central. I mean, you look at the Pacific, outside of Vegas and probably Vancouver, what, Edmonton is probably your 3 seed? I think that LA maybe has a chance to make a little bit of a jump this season. Other than that, I don't really see a team that really kind of blows my socks off in the Pacific Division. I think the Blackhawks very easily end up fitting into that playoff conversation. And to a point that you made, about expectations. I think if you're spending up to the salary cap, if you went out and got a $7 million goaltender, you went out and signed a defenseman that's going to be making $9.5 million a season beginning next year,
yep.
I think, A, Stan Bowman's job seems pretty secure from a hockey perspective. I don't think ownership would be allowing him to give out those kinds of contracts and make those kinds of decisions if they didn't expect him to be in charge for a while here. I think Jeremy Colliton's seat is a whole lot hotter now, and if the Blackhawks don't make the playoffs, like barring just a catastrophic run of injuries or whatever it would be that would cause them not to, I could easily see a change behind the bench happening. I think that Colliton's seat gets a little bit hotter even with the new extension that he has, just based on the moves that they've made and the expectations of where they are going to end up when all is said and done.
It feels to me, and this is just kind of a gut feeling, kind of an observational feeling, and maybe you disagree, I feel like firing Jeremy Colliton in the middle of the season next year, if things get off to a slow start, like you said, that doesn't hurt Stan Bowman as much as it would have maybe last year.
I think that it just is over and over again, ownership giving him votes of confidence, whether it was the confidence to be able to say that he was going to rebuild the organization, the confidence that was required to allow him to give out the contracts that he gave out to Seth Jones and to Jake McCabe and to others this offseason. I think it's very clear that ownership is giving him the seal of approval, and they're going along with what he's saying they should do. Whether or not that's the right decision, obviously, can be debated ad nauseum by Blackhawk fans, but I think that the signals are pretty clear, and I think that we used to think that he was kind of tied to the fate of Jeremy Colliton, especially after he gave him the extension. I'm not so positive about that. It feels like the organization is really committed to Stan's vision for this team.
Yeah, and you know, if you knew you were going to have a couple lean years and you thought, maybe this guy is an up-and-comer, maybe we catch lightning in a bottle, give him a try when we know we're not really in a spot to win, and then you quickly determine, okay, this isn't the guy, and you make a move midseason. I don't know if that, again, like you said, it just doesn't feel like Bowman and Colliton are so tied together anymore. And when 12 months ago, it definitely had that feeling. We're going to get to the Brad Aldrich situation in the second half of this podcast, and obviously that may or may not have an impact on Stan Bowman's future with the club. I'm going to doubt it one way or the other. I think, I don't know, I don't want to speculate, but it just doesn't feel like his job's in any danger whatsoever. For better or worse, for me, that's worse because...
And that's why I emphasized yeah. on ice perspective.
Yes, you did. But the other thing I wanted to mention, too, some of the news we saw this weekend, it wasn't really technically news, but Alex DeBrincat gets married, and social media from Adam Boqvist's Instagram and Brandon Hagel's Instagram, there's the captain, Jonathan Toews, getting after it at Alex DeBrincat's wedding. And good for him, man. If he's feeling good enough to go and party at a wedding, that is a good sign for Hawks fans. However, I just want to tell you, Hawks fans, that if he's not ready to start the season, please don't look back on that and be like, this guy, he's good enough to get drunk at a wedding. He should be able to play hockey. It's not quite that simple, but yeah. I think it is a good sign that he's out and about. He was also at Lollapalooza this weekend, so Toews is on the world tour right now, so I think that can only mean he's feeling better. And Marc-Andre Fleury sort of alluded to it in his press conference, too, that he saw Toews, and he said Toews looks good. Toews looks better. I don't know if he used the word good or better, whatever it was, but he referenced that Toews looked kind of ready to go. So that's
good. Didn't I see
too.
A report that Toews helped to recruit Fleury to play in Chicago as well?
Yes, he did. That is true.
So he's clearly taking an active interest in getting guys to want to buy in and play in Chicago. So I don't think he would be doing that unless he was anticipating playing. And obviously with his health issues, there's always the possibility of a setback. But it does seem like Jonathan Toews is definitely heading back in that direction. I know Stan Bowman hedged his bets a little bit after the draft and after free agency and was kind of hemming and hawing a little bit. I think that is very typical Stan Bowman speak. I think that the Blackhawks are very optimistic about where Jonathan Toews is.
Yeah, I mean, Stan has nothing to gain by saying, yep, Toews is ready. And then if he's not, then it looks awful, right? I think
right.
the way he's doing it right now by saying, yeah, you know, we'll see day by day, but things are pointing in the right direction, sort of keeping it vague is very, very smart. So I think he's handling it correctly. All right.
That center group is all of a sudden really freaking formidable. You look at Taves, yeah. you look at obviously Kirby Dach, you look at Tyler Johnson, then you look at guys like Gaudette, Borgstrom, Kara. I mean, there are some real good options up the middle. Deliberately left Dylan Strome out of that. I think he ultimately moves to the wing or he gets traded. I still think that that happens.
Yeah, the Hawks have, and Stan Bowman mentioned this the other day, three forwards that can't play center.
That's kind of crazy that you
actually
literally...
no. I'm sorry, it's four. It's Hagel.
Yep.
Nylander.
Yep.
It's Kubalik.
Yep.
And Kane.
DeBrincat cannot play center.
He's done
Come
it before.
On.
He's played a little bit of center. Okay, fine. Then I'll give
Boo.
You that one. Then five. He's done it though.
I'm saying I don't want him to.
No, I don't either
at all.
But
man.
Okay, but still five center, yeah. five guys that can't.
That's it's a great. It, they have incredible versatility at that position. You are absolutely correct about that.
All right, let's do this. We're going to take a timeout. We come back. We're going to talk about the latest with the Brad Aldridge situation. But first, I want to tell you about our legal expert, Kent Simpson of the Simpson Law Group. After over a decade of prosecuting homicide cases as an assistant Cook County State's attorney, Kent opened his own firm over 20 years ago, specializing in all forms of personal injury cases. If you fall at work, you get in a car accident, something bad happens to you because of someone else's negligence, Kent is the lawyer for you. His firm's results speak for themselves, with millions recovered for his clients. Simpson Law Group charges no fees unless they win for you. Call now for a free consultation, 312-332-2107, or visit SimpsonLawGroup.com. Don't go off sides, go top shelf. Call now. That is Simpson, S-I-N-S-O-N, LawGroup.com. And make sure when you call Kent, you let him know you heard about him on the Madhouse podcast. And if you haven't been injured at work, try to get injured at work so you can use Kent and then put a good word in for us. Come on.
And get money.
Fall
money,
off a ladder.
Good.
Have a forklift stab you or something. Help us out here. I mean, if you're not going to do that, at least do the TeePublic thing. That's the if you're not willing to fall off a ladder at work for us, the least you can do is buy a T-shirt.
Do we need to like consult him for some legal advice because we may have just encouraged people harm themselves?
Disclaimer, do not intentionally injure yourself at work.
Do not do any of the things Jay just said.
The Madhouse podcast is not responsible for any injuries incurred at work. Okay, I think we're covered.
I wonder if he would represent us in such a suit. I really hope that he would.
I can you see like me in like the neck roll?
Oh my God.
I fell off my chair while podcasting.
Yep.
I'm suing myself. For not having a good enough chair.
Sue your wife. I bet that would go over like gangbusters.
Oh, man. This chair, I love this chair. I got it at Costco. I had bought a chair. Like, I don't know if I told this story. I told this on the MFAT podcast, but I haven't told it here. So I bought like a leather office chair at the beginning of the pandemic. And I'm like, all right, this is fine. It was like super cheap at Walmart, but it was making my butt sweat. Like, it was kind of like fake leather. So a month later... I'm in Costco and I see like one of those nice mesh ones. I'm like, oh, I want that. I'll just return the Walmart one. So I literally wheel the old leather chair into Walmart with my receipt. I'm like, I'd like to return this. They're like, do you have a box or anything? I'm like, nah. And they're like, whatever, here's your money back. So it was a good scam pulled by me. Don't tell anyone. But if I need representation on that one, Kent's got my back. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come back and talk about some of the ugliness going on with the Blackhawks. Ugh, God forbid we have fun on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back into the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, friends. We have been talking about some Marc-Andre Fleury action. We've been talking about the roster construction, the depth, and all of that fun stuff. Unfortunately, there is another headline that continues to percolate in Blackhawksville, I guess you would call it, and that is the ongoing saga, the lawsuits against the team regarding the Brad Aldrich situation. do have a few minor updates on that Jay's going to get to here, but obviously kind of casts a pall over a lot of what's going on with the Blackhawks right now in terms of the on-ice stuff that's been kind of exciting recently.
Yeah, and look, if you're trying to keep up on this thing, there are people way more qualified than me and James to do this. Mark Lazarus, Scott Powers, and Katie Strang are killing it for The Athletic. Obviously, Rick Westhead from TSN is doing a wonderful job documenting this. You know, the thing that really, I mean, look, this is a horrible situation top to bottom, right? But I think a lot of us for a while were like, well, maybe not all the players knew or they know the extent or whatever. Now we're getting allegations that the victim was bullied by their teammates. And that to me is just like, man, any sort of disbelief I was suspending for this thing, like, oh, you know, maybe they know, or maybe they just, you know, they saw he was fired, so they thought everything was taken care of. No. The fact that they call the victim of this thing homophobic slurs, and we don't have names for the people that were doing it, but it's really tough. And then you had Nick Boynton naming Brian Campbell and Patrick Sharp and Patrick Kane as guys who knew. It's just so ugly. And that really, when you get the specific player names, it just, I don't know, that made it that much harder to swallow. It's very easy for me to be like, screw John McDonough, screw Stan Bowman, screw Al McIsaac. But when it's these guys who we've grown up, you know, watching win, and have, you know, we just saw like how people felt when all those Cubs were traded last week. It hurts, and you feel a connection to these guys. And the more detail that comes out, the less connected I feel that it's to those teams, and it's really, really tough to take. So the latest news is Danny Wirtz, in an internal memo sent to Blackhawks employees, reveals that the findings of the internal investigation will be made public. Now, your initial thought is great, transparency, right? Well, for legal experts have chimed in since that news broke, and they can say that that can sometimes have a negative effect on the investigation, because if everything's public, not everybody's willing to talk. If player A or player B doesn't want their name on the record, right? They don't want their name revealed to Hawks fans that they knew and they participated or whatever, or said nothing, whatever the situation may be, they're going to be less willing to talk. Whereas if the findings are kept private, you're going to have people who are more willing to speak up and speak the truth. So I think if I'm flipping, you know, if I'm choosing an outcome here, I think the transparency is better, and hopefully you get enough people to step up and speak out and say what happened. And if enough of the stories, you know, line up, then there's something here. And I think, you know, Nick Boynton in his piece with TSN said he talked with the investigators for about 45 minutes and he felt good about the conversation, and he felt good that the investigators were going to do a fair job, because he said they were clearly disgusted by many of the things he was describing to them. So hopefully the law firm does a good job and a fair job and doesn't just side with the people that are paying them, and they truly get to the bottom of this awful, awful story.
I mean, and that's clearly the thing we've been worried about since day one, when they made the announcement that the Blackhawks are going to be handling the investigation instead of the NHL. I did want to address a little bit of the concern that I saw expressed by some hockey fans that the league was so quick to jump in with an investigation into the Evander Kane gambling allegations that his ex-wife made, that he had gambled on NHL games, that a lot of people thought there was some hypocrisy there, that the NHL was so willing and ready to investigate that. But this incident, these incidents with Brad Aldridge, they're totally fine allowing the Blackhawks to investigate. And I do think that was a valid argument, that there was some hypocrisy there. So I did want to kind of throw that just kind of into the bloodstream, and just to kind of get, you know, Blackhawk fans thinking about that. But I think I echo a lot of the sentiments that you had about the idea of publishing all of this information. I mean, the thing that we've wanted from the word jump is transparency and ultimately accountability. And I hope that that doesn't change the fact that there needs to be accountability in this. They need to reveal who knew what, who failed to act, who tried to act and was shut down. Like, all of these things, all of this needs to come to light. All of this needs to be addressed by the Blackhawks and by the NHL, and action needs to be taken. And I think ultimately that's going to be the barometer of whether or not I feel like this investigation was done fairly and done properly. And I hope that the release of this information to the public doesn't, you know, indicate that the people who participated in this probe or whatever are going to ultimately end up getting a slap on the wrist or not getting punished at all. I just really hope that the investigation turns up the results that we are hoping that it does.
Yeah, the truth. The truth is what matters, right? And I think you and I have done a good job of using the terms we need to use, allegedly and alleged and all those sort of things. But it's just, I don't know. Those memories will never be taken away, right? Like, those cups happened. We saw it. We witnessed it. We saw them skating around the ice with them. You know, that it happened. And that's not going to go away. And I just think we see a lot of times on social media, with anything, anytime a player's name is questioned or whatever, people snap back because they're fans. These are just guys, man. They're just 23-year-old kids at the time who are doing some dumb stuff, saying some dumb stuff, thinking some dumb stuff. They're not perfect. And maybe they've changed in the last 10 years. Maybe they haven't. But it just is another reminder of, like, just because someone is good at sports or a great musician or a great actor or whatever doesn't mean they're without their flaws. Doesn't mean they don't need to be held to a standard. And hopefully this investigation does that. There's only two guys left on the team from the Stanley Cup era.
From that specific portion of the era, yeah.
Right. Three, if you want to count Andrew Shaw as part of the organization. But it's just ugly. And I don't know if does it feel like it's ramping down to you? Does it feel like they're starting to wrap things up? Because, you know, you've got, you know, Danny Wirtz saying, hey, these are going to be made public. I wonder if we're getting close to a conclusion here.
It's a good question. It obviously, we wanted a prompt and kind of thorough investigation. We didn't want this to kind of get buried. I think the Blackhawks personally want to get this information out as soon as they can to kind of begin to put this story behind them. And obviously, I'm not going to comment on whether or not that's a valid thing. I don't want them to just put it behind them and forget about it. I want them to learn from it and to take action. But I feel like it does kind of have that feel that this is moving towards some type of a resolution. I keep saying that I think what ends up happening is they end up settling with the players that filed these lawsuits, and then they end up releasing the findings of the investigation, and they take whatever actions they're going to take, and we're going to be left to kind of evaluate it. And there will still be, I think, some kind of murkiness about the details. It'll kind of always be the Patrick Kane sexual assault. I think that obviously never really came to much of a resolution since there wasn't a criminal action taken. There was never really a lawsuit that kind of exposed any of the things that kind of went on in that situation. I think that we're probably heading towards that. And obviously, I'm not going to be overly satisfied or overly thrilled that that's what the ultimate result's going to be. But boy, it really does seem like all the signs are pointing in that direction.
You know, what's going to happen is, here's my prediction, right? I think you're right. I think there'll be a settlement made. The Hawks will admit, negligence, right? Or like, we should have been more aware or something. It'll be worded very well that will appear to be them taking blame, but not them legally taking blame. I think you'll see some symbolic layoffs, right? Like, you might see someone in HR, you know, who knows what it could be. But I think they'll do something symbolic to say, oh, there's been discipline handed out. But I don't think it's going to be Stan Bowman. And the reality is, when these goals start getting scored and Marc-Andre Fleury starts shutting people out and Jonathan Toews is back and the Hawks are a playoff competitor again, people are going to forget. And it's just going to disappear. And I'm going to be guilty of it. I'm not going to speak for you, but it's just the way things go. It's when people in power get in trouble, nothing seems to happen. I mean, there is so much evidence of that over the last, estimating about 5 years, right? Where no matter how blatant, no matter how horrible, no matter how, like, oh my God, it's happening in front of your face, nothing seems to happen. And I feel like that's going to be sort of the same outcome here. So, and I know, look, a lot of Hawks fans are struggling with their fandom. Like, do they want to keep supporting this team? And I get that. I'm never going to tell anyone, like, nope, you need to remain loyal or you're a bad fan. I get it. But how many people were going to, like you mentioned, how many people are going to say, I'm going to support the Hurricanes now? And then day one of free agency, they couldn't move fast enough to sign Tony DeAngelo.
Yep.
Right? It just, every team's going to break your heart. And remember, you're rooting for laundry. That's really basically what it is. That's really what it is. You're rooting for laundry.
Well, the great thing about sports fandom is that you don't owe ownership or the team or the players or whatever. You don't owe them jack shit. You do whatever you want in terms of fandom. And yeah, there will be people out there who might judge you for it. But I think ultimately, at the end of the day, the only person that you have to account for and kind of be accountable to is yourself. And if you are able to kind of compartmentalize these accusations and what goes on the ice, then I think that's totally fine. And I totally, totally get that, you know, based on the way we've experienced the Patrick Kane situation with the Blackhawks, Aroldis Chapman and Addison Russell with the Cubs. I mean, there are ample opportunities that we've had as Chicago sports fans to have to kind of deal with this and to kind of compartmentalize it. And however you end up doing that in your head and whatever conclusion you end up coming to as a result of that thought process, I absolutely think that you should stick by it and you shouldn't be judged for it.
Yeah. Well said, buddy. I don't know if I can say it better than you. Let's cleanse the palate. Let's tell our friends about Fry the Coop. FryTheCoop.com.
You mean burn the palate off.
Just, yeah, like singe, scorch your palate at Fry the Coop. But the best Nashville hot chicken you'll ever have. Tenders, sandwiches, chicken and waffles, the donut chicken sandwich. They've got a great craft beer menu. There's a location near you if you're in the Chicagoland area. Oaklawn, Elmhurst, Westtown, Prospect Heights, Tinley Park. Fry the Coop is one of my favorite places in the world. It is an absolute go-to for me. And look, if hot's not your thing, they've got options. You can get the mild, you can get the country, which has no seasoning or sauce on it at all, just plain old chicken, whatever you get at Fry the Coop. Whether you want to melt your face off or whether you want no spice at all, you're going to love it. Go to frythecoop.com, place your order online. You can pick it up there. You can dine in. All the options exist for you. Again, Oaklawn, Elmhurst, Westtown, Prospect Heights in Tinley Park. Come get your happiness at Fry the Coop. All right, James, I don't know, you know, how much more news is going to happen with the Hawks on ice in terms of this offseason. You sort of mentioned it. They're under the cap. The roster seems to be pretty much set. I don't know. I still feel like there's a chance something could happen with Dylan Strome. But again, why not just keep him around and use him for leverage at the trade deadline? Flip him for
maybe
a pick. Everyone's looking for a 23-year-old center, right?
Well, next podcast, we can maybe talk about the return of nacho fries to Taco Bell. Oh, wait, that's your other show.
I'll do that, too. By the way, have a couple guest opportunities that could be coming up. Kent Simpson is getting more comfortable with the Blackhawks lawsuit, so we might put him on soon. Also, sports agent Pete Rutile is a friend of mine, and I said, hey, you know what would be a cool podcast? Kind of a behind-the-scenes of the free agent frenzy. What's it like from the agent perspective? And he said he's down to do that. So look for some potential interviews as the summer rolls on here. But hockey is closer than you think. And how about this, James? The Bears play in 10 days.
The Bears.
All right. Everybody, have a good week. Have a good weekend. Take care of yourselves. Keep wearing your masks. I know it sucks. Get vaccinated. I don't care. Be mad at me. Get vaccinated, jerks. All right, we love you. Thanks for listening. Make sure to check out our Tee Public sale going on throughout the rest of the week. Check the link in our bio. Talk to you next time on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast was brought to you by Fry the Coop, Triple Threat Sports, and by the Since In-Law Group.
All right, good shit.